Hello, Pod. I'm Chris Hewitt. Welcome to the latest episode of The Shameless Plug, the show in which I sit down every month with Empire's editor, Nick Desemlian, and we talk about what's in the brand new issue of Empire. If you have already bought the issue and you have read and enjoyed the issue, you might want to know more about how the sausage got made. Or if you haven't bought the issue, if you're on the fence about buying this particular issue of Empire or maybe subscribing to Empire, then hopefully our tales behind the curtain will entice you to go down to your nearest newsagent, good, evil, or virtual, and part with your hard-earned cash for this incredible issue of Empire Magazine. Oh my word. Nick, welcome.
Chris, hey, pleasure to be here with you again. Although, did we really need to record this inside a large wooden horse?
Nick, this is my process. Do not question it.
Okay. It took ages to build it, but fine. Yes, welcome to our Odyssey issue. It has been an odyssey in itself to make it.
It has been. This is issue 448. 450 looming just around the corner, Nick. In fact, we're working on it right now. Are there any special plans for issue 450?
Maybe.
There aren't, are there, Nick?
Hang on, I gotta go. we'll see. Every issue is in itself a celebration.
Every day is Christmas Eve, and especially on this day, issue 448, January 2026. Do not be put off by the fact that it is December 3rd as we're recording this. This is the January 2026 issue on the cover. A giant wooden horse.
Yes, is this the first giant wooden horse on the Empire cover?
That's a very good question.
Let's get our people on it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a database. Also, a ripped, pumped Matt Damon, also on the cover. For on the cover, in case you haven't guessed, genuine world exclusive, folks. I mean, they're all world exclusives. You know, we're constantly first to the big stories in Empire. Christopher Nolan's new movie, The Odyssey.
Yes.
Yeah, and Nick himself wrote this story.
I did. Stupendously excited for this film, and that's only ratcheted up further since doing this story. I shout out in my Ed's letter this month, Mr. Bradby, my Latin teacher, who would regale us at school
with
tales.
You had a Latin teacher?
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. Why? How old are you?
It's a bit Dead Poets Society.
It is.
So, So, yeah, Greek mythology has always been like a big thing for me. I love it. I love this story. I think I tweeted about 5 or 6 years ago, like, why is nobody doing the Iliad and the Odyssey as a big epic? I actually was thinking like it would be a big HBO series.
Yep.
With like a series on each. I didn't dream that it would be a giant movie directed by Christopher Nolan, but I'm really happy it is.
But he did.
He did.
He's been thinking about this for some time, right?
He dreamed a little bigger. And this film sounds like it's gigantic. Huge shoot all over the world. The story is massive. It takes place over 10 years. It's follows, if you've seen Troy, it's basically what happens after
Troy. It's a sequel to Troy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Troy 2.
Do you remember who plays the DC in Troy?
Sean Bean. O2, see what you can do.
Yeah. So it's going to be epic. An epic of epicness.
Sean Bean has become Matt Damon. Just for the sake of clarity, The Odyssey is not an official sequel to Wolfgang Peterson's Troy.
Although, Christopher Nolan, I believe this was the first time he's confirmed it on the record. He confirmed that he was lined up to direct Troy and he worked on Troy.
What?
Yeah. And then Wolfgang Peterson was going to do Batman v Superman, and essentially that fell through, and Wolfgang Peterson came back to Troy. And Christopher Nolan stepped aside. Now, that was mentioned by David S. Goyer in a podcast recently. And so I asked Nolan about it, and he confirmed it.
All right. Well, Nick, tell us about this, because this is a genuine world exclusive. There has only been paparazzi shots from the set of The Odyssey, which has been filming for a whole bunch of months in locations around the world. There was, of course, the teaser trailer, which debuted a couple of months ago, but
Only in cinemas,
and really didn't have a huge glimpse at this movie. You have the first interview with Chris Nolan about this. You have the first interview with Matt Damon about this. We have the first images from the movie, the first official images from the movie. We have behind the scenes images from the movie. We have confirmation of character names.
That's how secret this film is. That, like, apart from Matt Damon and kind of Tom Holland, who you saw in the teaser trailer, like, it wasn't out there at all who pretty much any of these big stars were playing. We really were like that. I mean, this is as kind of top secret an issue as we've done for a very, very long time. When we did Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, which we didn't have the title for when we did that cover, we called it Indiana Jones 5. That was before anyone had, I believe it was just before the trailer dropped. So it was like the first images of anyone from that film. But yeah, this is super, super secret. And yeah, it was. I'm very relieved it's out in the world because I've been kind of like, you know, I was having dreams about this issue leaking and things going online. And obviously, when it did get revealed, there was a lot of excitement online. But yeah, it's one of those where you don't want to be the person who accidentally leaks Christopher Nolan's, you know, the first look at his film. So it's all been very kind of worked out, and luckily it went okay, and I haven't been taken out.
I did live tweet the making of the issue. I don't know if you noticed.
Sure.
Yeah. I went, Nick has just finished his Odyssey cover story. It was amazing. Hashtag Odyssey, hashtag Empire, hashtag big reveal, yeah, hashtag coming soon. No one seemed to notice.
Yeah, I was wondering why you were standing just behind me while I was writing it and asking me to repeat words.
Hashtag blessed. So Nick, tell us all about how this came about. This is incredible. You went to Los Angeles, where Christopher Nolan lives, and you sat down with him for how long? This is an incredible, incredible coup.
Well, it's been a long time in the making. So obviously we chatted to him for Oppenheimer, and then we did a Nolan special, which was last summer, where we talked to him and his wife, producer Emma Thomas, the great Emma Thomas. And funnily enough, Alex Godfrey, our colleague who did that interview, accidentally worked out his next project by asking them a question involving the phrase Trojan horse, sort of like, you know, complex stuff into blockbusters, and they didn't break a sweat.
I think
but they were very cool and calm. And later, I asked them both, Christopher Nolan and Emma Thomas, about this, and they said they did have a chat after the interview. It was the first thing when the Zoom call ended. They looked at each other, and Emma Thomas was a bit like, "You know, he knows," and then they were like, "No, they don't know."
No, because Alex said Trojan horse in. If Chris Nolan and Emma Thomas had gone, "What? What do you mean by that?
Yeah,
that's a strange phrase. What? I don't know anything about a Trojan horse."
What I would do if I was working on a secret adaptation of the Odyssey, I would go, "How do you know?" I would just immediately give it away. But they're made of more
sterner stuff.
So yeah. Anyway, that kind of tickled me after it was announced that we had used that phrasing.
This is huge.
But anyway, no, we've been working very closely with them, with Universal, the studio. It's been a long conversation, and you know, there's going to be more to come. This is just the beginning of the Odyssey, and
Odyssey.
Yeah, and it was super exciting. I flew to LA and I went to Syncope
in a plane,
and I sat in a boardroom with Christopher Nolan with lots of posters, and he had a Cobb salad, and I had a hence my terrible joke about Dom Cobb salad, which I didn't say to him on the day, but I was like, "Ooh, I've got a joke." And we chatted, and it was the first time he has talked about it. He, as he talks about, 2 million feet of film they shot for this. It was
a huge epic.
They're shooting on the whole thing is the first film ever shot entirely on IMAX cameras. He's been out at sea for months. You know, they shot the whole film this year. They started in February, ended in August, and I spoke to him in October. So it was still very recent, and he was just getting into the edit. He had cut something together, which he showed me, which I describe in the piece, but it was an amazing experience. I mean, it was an amazing experience.
Wowzers.
And he was kind of working out, you know, and some stuff he's not ready to talk about yet. Some stuff he was kind of figuring out as we chatted. And then at the end, he's like, "Oh, do you want to come and see a bit of it?" And I was like,
"Nah.
Yes, please." Okay. And it was just Christopher Nolan and I just walked around the corner into his screening room, and he stood behind me, and he was holding an iPad. He was fiddling with it, and some curtains opened, and the screens. And it was pretty cool. And I watched it. It was like a 4DX thing. You've got the director. Have you ever had that where you've got?
Was he shaking your chair and spraying water in your face?
Not quite.
Okay. Right,
that would have been great. But yeah, I mean, it was 6 minutes, and it was. You know, as I say in the piece, it was pretty damn intense and pretty amazing. I had that with Tarantino, where I watched, I was in the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood edit suite with him and his editor, Fred Raskin, And he was like, oh, you're the first person I'm going to show something to. And he showed me about 10 minutes. And it was great because A, the footage was great, but B, he was howling. He was laughing his head off. It was like he had never seen it before. And he wrote it, he shot it, he's edited it, but he was very entertained. But yeah, having Christopher Nolan standing behind you,
that's a little
in a room
pressure,
while you
right?
watch it, it's yeah.
Because it's, you know, because you're like, how do I, what, can I react? You know, what do I do?
Yeah.
Do I cry? Do I laugh?
Yeah.
It's not a comedy. Oh God, what if I laugh?
I started a Mexican wave at one point. it didn't catch on. But it was amazing. It was really cool. And then about a week later, I did another hour on Zoom with Matt Damon, who was in New York. And again,
Matt
his
Damon.
First time talking about the Odyssey. His dog was yelping. It was my cat was coming in and meowing, and then his dog was coming in and yelping. And so we had the whole animal kingdom against us. But he was ecstatic about this film. He said with no hesitation, it's the best time he's ever had making a film. And do you want a fact? Do you want a fun extra detail that is not in the piece?
Yeah, hit me with it.
His weight in this film is 167 pounds. I didn't put that in the piece because it's boring, but I'm now going to share it here on the Shameless Plug. We like to bring a bit of, you know...
This is what keeps the people coming back month after month for the good shit, the shit that was too crap to make it into the magazine. Matt Damon's weight for this movie was 167 pounds. Nick, you should be ashamed of yourself. That's a disgraceful fact.
Yeah. But it was funny. It was funny because I told him I had seen some of the footage, and he was like, "I haven't seen anything." And then he asked me to describe the footage to him.
Really?
And so it's very surreal. You are on a Zoom call describing a bit of the Odyssey to the star of the Odyssey, and he was going, "Oh, I'm so jealous. Oh, I can't believe you got to see that." It was really surreal. But he's the nicest man, I've got to say.
Yes, he is.
It was super, super, super nice.
And, man.
Yeah.
This is incredible, Nick.
Yeah, it was good.
This is incredible. So this is, we have world exclusives in Empire all the time.
Yeah.
And we have more coming up, you know, world exclusive, not necessarily the Odyssey, but other films as well over the next year or so. But this was a special one. Fucking cool.
Well, also, I forgot to say, like a week after I spoke to Matt Damon, we got word that Christopher Nolan wanted to have another chat.
What?
And also Hoyte van Hoytema.
Yes.
Hoytema, his cinematographer, who's a legend, and they wanted to talk about the new IMAX technology, the new IMAX camera they're using, the blimp tech, which means that they can, they've cracked basically how to record dialogue scenes, because normally the IMAX is like, there, you know, everyone says it sounds like a tractor, and by using the blimp...
That's not how tractors sound.
That's how... How does a tractor sound?
Well, like a kind of...
I think it's more of a...
I don't think it is.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, we'll come back to that. But we'll play a tractor sound effect over this. But it basically enables them to now shoot quiet dialogue scenes with actors with IMAX cameras. So it's gonna be a game changer. I think that's the word. Nolan used the word game changer.
Wow. Well, this is a game changer of a feature, but I am not going to spare you from my usual tradition, which I skipped entirely last month, where I read out the first line of each feature in a voice designed to entice people to buy it and read it. And your first line is, "Interested in rumor? Huh? Gossip? Who has a story about Odysseus? You have a story?"
Well, I don't... You're not insulting me with that. You're insulting Christopher Nolan, because that's a line from the teaser trailer.
What?
That he wrote. So you are...
Delivered by
John Bernthal.
So I'm insulting my birthday bro, John Bernthal. He and I were born exactly the same day.
Interesting.
Yeah. My career has turned out much better than his. I think you'll agree. It's a great feature. Read it now, or read it after you listen to this podcast. It is fantastic. It also kicks off.
Well, I just want to quickly, before you move on, I want to mention the subscriber cover done by the great Paul Shipper, but we work very closely with Christopher Nolan on that subscriber art. It's based on some imagery from the film. It is the Trojan soldiers pulling the Trojan horse towards Troy. Unbeknownst to them, there are several Greeks inside.
I mean,
yeah.
They should have known about the Trojan horse.
Yeah. I mean, I would have fallen for it.
Yeah, I'm not so sure I would have.
Yeah.
I'd have gone, that is exactly the same size as a vessel in which to store people.
Yeah.
who might want to
give it a shake.
Murderous.
Give it a shake. If you're given a large wooden horse, shake it, see if there's anything inside, like
absolutely.
A Christmas present. But that was the sequence that I got shown, the Trojan horse scene. And I got to say, like, it's for something that on paper might come off as a bit silly, it works. And there's some extra stuff that I haven't talked about, which I don't want to ruin, but there's some really cool stuff. And it's very visceral and very, like, it's nerve-shaking.
That's exciting, isn't it? Bloody well exciting. All right, so this is the feature that kicks off our 2026 preview, which is our look ahead to some of, not all, but some of the films that are going to be coming your way over the next few months in 2026, which obviously is just around the corner. And there's loads of great stuff in here, exclusive new images, exclusive new interviews.
You talked to Sam Raimi.
I talked to Sam Raimi, who is quite frankly sick of me, I'm sure, because I've talked to Sam Raimi a lot over the years. But I talked to him about his new film, Send Help, which is out in February and which looks absolutely terrific. Of course it does. It's a Sam Raimi film. Rachel McAdams, Dylan O'Brien, crash landing on a desert island, big power struggle. He's an asshole boss. She's a put upon employee. But do the tables begin to turn on the island? Yes. And I'm excited about it.
I'd say it's Raimi's first horror film since Drag Me to Hell, right? So
it depends how you think of Balls Great and Powerful, but yes. It's his first official horror film since then. Yeah.
Well, I got to say respect to, I believe, Ian Frith. Sorry if this is being credited wrong, but Sam Raimi's Desert Island Risks is the cell.
Is it?
Underneath. Is that yours?
Nope.
That's something I believe Ian Frith. So I'm going to give him credit.
I just deliver the copy and then I let the headlines and the sales fall where they may.
Yeah. Your words are good too.
I mean, that's all right. Yeah. There's so much great stuff inside the issue. Riz Ahmed on his new version of Hamlet.
We got Hamlet.
Do we have Hamlet? Oh, God, I haven't got to that bit yet. This is amazing. We have Maggie Gyllenhaal on her new movie, The Bride, which is a wild version of the story of the Bride of Frankenstein. I believe I haven't seen it yet, but it's that seems to be the case for
sure. More films should have an exclamation mark. I think The Odyssey should have one. I think Hamnet should have one.
Hamnet should definitely have one. The Rip should have one. The Rip is the new movie from Joe Carnahan, which is out on Netflix in January. And it reunites your pal, Matt Damon, with his pal, Ben Affleck. They are together at last again in this movie. It is a rollicking cop thriller. And I spoke to Joe Carnahan about that. We have Daredevil Born Again. We have Nouvelle Vague, which is a new film from Richard Linklater, which is about the making of Breathless.
May we?
Not the good one with Richard Gere, but the other one.
Oh, I love that.
If you want
to improve your day, go to YouTube, type in Breathless 1983. last scene. Watch the last scene of the Richard Gere Breathless. It will improve your day.
Do you know, I've never seen it.
Oh,
I haven't brought myself.
Tarantino maintains it's better than the original.
Tarantino maintains a lot of things.
Yes, he does.
Has interesting opinions on movies, shall we say. We have a look at the Moana live action remake, which is exciting. We have one of the first words, if not the first word, Nick, on Coyote versus Acme, which is the much delayed and very nearly deleted movie about Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. And I'm excited that it's finally seen the light of day.
I enjoyed Amon Woman. Spoke to the director of Coyote versus Acme. I love this quote. Talking about Wile E. Coyote, the director says, "We want to pop the myth and get into his soul and show you what really makes him tick." And that is an amazing sentence about a cartoon coyote. But I'm here for it. I love Wile E. Coyote.
Do me low. I just want to see him fall off a cliff. That's what I want to see. But
I'm going to get into his soul.
Okay. Well, we've also got Fuse. The new film from David McKenzie with Aaron Taylor-Johnson's F You Said E. It's a heist thriller. That looks exciting. That's in the preview as well. We have Jon Favreau on The Mandalorian and Grogu.
Yes. Ben Travis, our resident little cute creature specialist.
Oh, he's so cute.
There's Grogu's, there's Babu Freaks. He was in Hog Heaven.
Yes, he was. He talked to Favs, our mate Favs. We have a look at the brand new... This is brand new, isn't it? The new Game of Thrones spin-off, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. That's exciting. That's all in there. Corin Hardy's new film, Whistle. Had a really fun interview with Corin Hardy. It's about a death whistle that if you hear it, you hear its cry, then you are marked for death, like Steven Seagal in the film Nico. And that's an interview where Corin actually blew the death whistle.
Oh my God.
I have a sound recording of that that I might insert it into this shameless plug right now. This is an excerpt. This is something Karen Hardy sent me. He sent me a voice note of him blowing the death whistle. Have a listen.
Okay, Chris, you asked for this. I need to do some kind of legal disclaimer in case, you know, you're found in some kind of bizarre, contorted perishment position, I like to call it. So this is the sound of a death whistle. I give you one last chance to pause it right now before I blow it, or otherwise I'm going to count down from three. And I hope that the recording device on this iPhone successfully captures this sound. The death whistle in our film is called In Choker, which means the cry. Here it comes. You've been warned. 3, 2, 1. I'll speak to you soon. I hope that you make it through the next few days.
That is an exclusive. That's the kind of thing you only get on the Shameless.
You
plug.
Only get, yeah.
The fact
absolutely.
That we're both going to die horribly now is only a small inconvenience.
Yes, I should have mentioned that everyone who listens to that excerpt will now
you,
die.
You will die.
You will die horribly.
But thank you, and please subscribe. Re-up your subscription before.
Yes,
you
go. In fact, if you could re-up your subscription in perpetuity. In fact, if you could insert it into your will that even in the event of your inevitable horrible death after having listened to that, that you wish to subscribe to the Empire Podcast, the Spoiler Specials, the VIP Club. Mm. Nick, do you have anything that you want people to subscribe
just
to?
Just set up a transfer into my account.
Just a transfer.
We don't ask for much. We don't ask for much, but we do ask for all of that. Please.
We have Jesse Buckley and Paul Mescal on their new film Hamnet, The Mild Cigar, which is really exciting. That's going to be an Oscar frontrunner. It seems like Jesse Buckley has one hand, if not two hands, around the Best Actress statue already. That's exciting. We have the new Charlize Theron action movie Apex. We have A Look at the Magic Faraway Tree.
Yes, which Alex Godfrey and I are very excited. We've had many conversations about The Magic Faraway Tree.
Yeah.
And I used to read it when I was a kid. I used to love it. The Sandman scared the shit out of me. All the lands at the top of the tree.
Some of them are very frightening.
And it has this interview has made my favorite quote of the whole issue. Sorry, Christopher Nolan.
Oh, does it?
Where somebody involved in the Magic Faraway Tree describes it as Waitrose meets Star Wars.
Well, there you go. I'm sold. Simon Farnaby is involved with that, so I'm sold. Toy Story 5, we have a look at that. That is exciting. We have the new Ashley Walters movie, Animal. Spelled A-N-I-M-O-L. It's a preview of
between
interesting
fuse,
spellings.
We need to get a sub-editor out to Hollywood stat. No offense to people involved in this.
No offense, indeed. So what a cracking preview, Nick.
Pretty cracking.
Cracking preview.
Pretty preview-y.
It's very preview-y. And because of that, the features section of the magazine is it doesn't have as many features, out-and-out features in it as you might normally get.
It's tight.
But what is in there is absolutely incredible. Obviously, you have the Odyssey feature. The next one, the next proper big meaty feature is a sit down with James Cameron. Is this the final step on the path to Pandora,
well,
Nick?
Well, not quite the final step in print. We have just announced we are going to be doing an early screening of Avatar: Fire and Ash for Empire VIP members. You're going to, if you come to that, you're going to see the film a full week ahead of it coming out.
A full week ahead of it being in cinemas.
But yeah, this is the last bit. We've been doing something every single month for a year now. It's been epic. And to end it, we decided to end as we began with a James Cameron interview, and we have thrown your questions at him.
What?
We asked for questions.
What?
And we got well over 2,000.
2,000 questions, all of them from James Dyer on burner accounts.
Some of them were strangely sexual. We didn't expect quite so many to be about the Na'vi mating habits. I'm not joking here. We got a lot of those, which we have filtered, let's put it that way. But we have had some nerdy questions, some great stuff, and this is a blast to read this. He is a fantastic. He's one of those guys who will answer anything you lob at him. And someone tried to catch him out, I think, on the Pandoran cycle of time, like how much time given the moons and the suns. He had an answer for
everything.
It was incredibly confusing for me,
yes.
but It makes sense to him.
I'm convinced these are all from James Dyer, who did the interview with Jim Cameron. And yep. I'm just convinced because only he would be so bold as to ask about Pandoran time cycles and pulse rifle sound effects.
He has his watch set to Pandoran time.
He does. And Navi, I'm looking at him right now. James is recording the Pilot TV podcast through the window in the other studio. I'm looking at him right now. He has the aspect, Nick, of someone who would ask about Navi's fucking.
He's gesticulating wildly, and I assume he's talking about some kind of Avatar Navi-related minutiae, judging by Boyd and Kay's expressions.
Even now, he's doing some elaborate Navi fan fiction, Jake Sully and Neytiri, and maybe Piacan involved as well. It's quite graphic. I don't want to get into it, but there you go. Anyway, I'm going to give James the opening line treatment. James Cameron stay on Pandora. Yeah, because I didn't get the voice right for yours. I'm so sorry. James Cameron stay on Pandora is drawing to a close. Chaffers.
Oh, yeah.
Right away.
But you're not reading the twist at the end of that.
There's a twist?
For now.
Oh, I didn't see the twist.
Oh, yeah.
For now. There you go, you spoiled it. Next feature, there's three big features. The preview is a huge Uber feature all of its own, featuring many little mini features. But the big feature that ends the section is Tim and Pee-wee's Big Adventure is the headline. You'll never guess what it's about. It's the 40th, Jesus, anniversary of Pee-wee's Big Adventure, and Alex sat down with Tim Burton.
Legends only.
He's going for Burton.
Legends only this issue. Yes, Tim Burton's first film. And there's a Criterion. I remember a Criterion release was announced for this. And you and Alex had a chat about it. And he was like, why don't we try and see if Tim Burton wants to talk about it?
Yes.
He did want to talk about it. And he was fantastic. And I think Alex got a big chunk of time with him. And just reminiscing about making his first ever movie. It's the highs, lovely. The lows, working with Paul Reubens. It is a really fun read.
Paul Reubens. Who's Paul Reubens?
Pee-wee.
What?
Pee-wee.
But Pee-wee Herman is a real person.
I'll explain it to you after.
What the fuck? Opening line of Alex's feature, fish swim outside Pee-wee Herman's window. There you go.
It's great. You learn from this piece, among many other fascinating bits of lore, that Tim Burton at the premiere of this film sat next to Mr. T. Imagine the small talk.
At least Mr. T wasn't sitting behind Tim Burton, because with that voluminous hair, that's not the best person to sit behind when you're watching a movie. I pity the fool who sits behind Tim Burton at a screen.
Yeah, yeah. Do you remember when we did Pint of Milk with Mr. T?
I do remember that. Who did that?
Sam Toy.
Sam Toy. And we were all in a room
listening to it.
Why were we in a room?
I don't know. And do you remember that it was the only time in Empire history where Pint of Milk has been rebranded? It was changed to Pint of Snickers because Mr. T was promoting Snickers at the time, and that's how we got him. And I don't think they even asked us to do it, but we changed it to Pint of Snickers.
What the fuck? I don't remember that at all.
I think we were all probably... there was something going on.
That's wild. Yeah. All right, Nick, we sadly do not have a lot of time to go through the rest of the issue. What I will say is a banging, banging, banging issue. You're going to buy this because of the Odyssey feature. The Odyssey feature is an absolute standout. Oh, Jesus Christ, I completely forgot to congratulate you. I'm not just talking to Nick Desemlian. I'm talking to an award-winning Nick Desemlian because, was it last week?
Mm-hmm.
You won the BSME Award for Best Guy.
Oh, yeah.
It was just...
Best Desemlian. Sorry, Phil. My brother.
A real blow to Phil Desemlian.
It was a shock.
You won the BSME for Best Editor, Brackets.
Editor of the Year, Bracket Specialist, close bracket.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. And
it's my specialty.
Nick, I think you've just guaranteed yourself
It was actually Editor of the Year, Bracket The Specialist, because it was the award was given to people who have written about the Sylvester Stallone Sharon Stone film.
Oh, what a film. What a film. But that is an amazing, amazing accolade. Thanks, Chris. What an honor it is for you. What an honor it is for you to be in this room with me. But what an honor it is for you also to have that on your mantelpiece. Is it on your mantelpiece?
It's on a table.
It's fucking hell.
It's on a table.
They've wasted on you, quite frankly. But yeah, I think you have guaranteed yourself a second consecutive award with this belting feature.
You're very kind.
I'm going to say it right now.
Kind. Thanks, Chris.
I'm going down to Ladbrokes and putting £1,000 on you winning it for next year. Anyway, real quick, my section. There's good stuff in it. You know what there is. It's the Final Cut section. It's a section that looks at home entertainment releases. I spoke to Celine Song about Materialists, which is one of my favorite films of the year. And that was a really, really fascinating conversation that opens the section. There's Robert Redford ranking in there, obviously a tribute to the late, great Robert Redford. I spoke to Mike Flanagan about adapting Stephen King. That was also a really great chat. The Philippi brothers are on Bring Her Back. Jamie Graham writes about The Conversation, and that is worth reading all by itself. Time capsule this month is Malcolm McDowell, looking back at his storied career, and has, you know, probably my favorite quote of the issue is him talking about a film called Royal Flash, where he talks about he was in a sword fight with Alan Bates, and Alan had tucked a bounty bar in his costume, and the bounty bar went flying through the air, and Malcolm Dowell says, "I called him Bounty Bates from there on," which is amazing, especially bounty if you think Bates. About women in love. And yeah, everything that that
it's
entails.
An incredible fact. Yeah, that is a fantastic read, Malcolm McDowell. He uses the word scaramouche as a verb, which I have never heard it done. And frankly, I'm going to start adopting that myself.
Do you do the Fandango?
I'll try.
Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening. Me, John Nugent's section is filled, as ever, with all the reviews you could possibly wish to read, and some that you wouldn't, but it's an absolute banging section. This brings us to First Word, which is Beth Webb's section. I'm going to leave the lead for the time being, Nick. I'm going to come back to that for reasons that will become very, very clear. But my God, Beth's cup overfloweth this month. She has Paul Bettany talking about playing Salieri in the brand new Amadeus TV show on Sky. I talked to Yahya Abdul-Mateen II about Wonder Man, which is a brand new Disney MCU show. Elizabeth Olsen. So hang on, we have the Vision and the Scarlet Witch in this section.
Oh my God.
How did we not put them on the same spread? Okay, you take
like,
that.
It's like not putting Hamnet and Hamlet on. Yeah, I think I need to give the award back.
You need to give it back.
Yeah, okay. It's nice when it was nice when it lasted. But we also have some. I mean, this section is always packed with great, cool left field stories. We spoke to Heidi Klum's Halloween prosthetic and makeup artist, because we've decided, you know, Halloween has become such a massive season in Hollywood.
God.
And people have gone, you know, above and beyond this year. Tiana Taylor went as her own character from one battle after another. I love it when people go as their own character. But yeah, Heidi Klum always has these insane parties, and she went as Medusa, which is nuts outfit if you've not seen that. I mean, that's a bit Odyssey. And we spoke to, her kind of the person who puts all those costumes together, and how it's actually starting to... leech into movies and TV. Actually, the person he did the Penguin, Colin Farrell's Penguin prosthetics. The
same that guy?
So, yeah.
Mike Marino is the effects.
That's it, yes.
Prosthetics yes. guru behind all that sort of stuff.
We talked to Brendan Fraser about...
Fraser. Yeah.
We talked to Brendan Fraser about Japan and his new movie, Rental Family, and what he loves about Japan.
Yes.
His experiences there. We talked to Elizabeth Olsen about Eternity. As you mentioned, we got a scoop on the new Doctor Who spinoff, The War Between the Land and the Sea. And most shocking of all, most staggering of all, the biggest news bomb for me in this issue is that Hello Kitty is not a cat. She's a human.
Yeah, we've discussed this on the regular podcast.
Right. I mean, for me, it was a bombshell.
Yeah.
I wasn't prepared.
Imagine how she feels.
So it's a human who looks like a cat.
It seems to be.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to dig into it because it opens up doors to a troubling world.
Well, there's a Hello Kitty movie on its way, and I hope it answers some of my questions, because I've got a lot of them.
I'm sure it won't. I'm sure it won't. Okay. All right, listen, we don't have a lot of time left, so I'm going to finish off by talking about the first word in First Word, which is one of the funniest, most outrageous interviews I have ever done, and I've been doing this for a long time, folks. There's a new film coming out in December called Anaconda, which is, it's not a reboot of the 1997 B-movie classic starring J-Lo, Eric Stoltz, Ice Cube,
and unimprovable.
You can't improve upon Anaconda. But the guys behind The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent have given it a go by going meta once again. And this new Anaconda is about a group of hapless filmmakers trying to remake Anaconda on a low budget. And wouldn't you know it, a real anaconda turns up and shit starts to hit the snaky fan. And this stars Jack Black and Paul Rudd, two of the funniest people in Hollywood. And I had a Zoom interview with them about a few weeks ago now, and it is the opening Q&A in the first word section. It is genuinely one of the funniest. And you don't even know the half of it. There is some stuff that did not make it in.
Well, do you want to explain the crazy thing that happened that you didn't end up putting in?
All right, so I was meant to interview Jack Black and Paul Rudd, and literally, because I'm very busy, I scheduled just before it. They were at 6 o'clock. 5 o'clock, I had scheduled an interview with Akiva Schaffer, who is the director of The Naked Gun and one third of The Lonely Island. And that was only meant to be half an hour, but we got on quite well, and we kept on talking, and we were talking so much about The Naked Gun. But with 3 minutes to go, I did something unusual. I started wrapping up the interview, and I said, look, Akiva, I've got to go. I've got Paul Rudd and Jack Black in literally 3 minutes. And he went, oh my God, I love those guys. Is there any way I can crash the, can I come with you? Can I crash the Zoom? And I was like, well, it's a Zoom link. And I don't think Sony would appreciate it if I gave the link to a random person, but fuck it. That's funny.
Yeah.
It reminded me of the time I interviewed George Miller for the podcast. And I said to George Miller, oh, I'm interviewing Guillermo del Toro after this in a different hotel. And he was like, oh, I love Guillermo. I'm going to come with you. And he put his schedule on hold for the rest of the afternoon to come with me.
That's so good.
To a completely different hotel just to say hello to Guillermo. That's all he did.
Did you go in a doof wagon?
No, I sadly not. I didn't have a guitar with me at the time, but it was amazing. So anyway, this is like the virtual version of that. So I gave Akiva the link and then quickly jumped into the chat. There was a Sony rep there, and I said, by the way, Akiva Schaffer might be trying to crash this. And they were like, I'm not so sure that's going to work. You know, we've only got a few minutes with Paul and Jack. I don't think that's going to happen, but okay. And I went, all right. So then we went in, started talking to Paul and Jack. Hey, how's it going, guys? Small talk, blah, 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 blah. Suddenly Akiva Schaffer shows up, and then they just lose their shit.
That's so great.
And they just start shooting shit for 5 minutes or so. It relaxed Lem enormously. Akiva has to go. He talks about this, but without actually name-checking me or Empire on a recent episode of the Lonely Island podcast.
Yeah, the Lonely Island podcast, which I listen to every week, and everyone should hear it. It's brilliant, as are they. Jack Black gatecrashes their podcast in kind of retaliation for this.
Yes, he gatecrashed their podcast because of this.
Yeah, and they allude to this, what happened. But what Chris has just revealed the full story. I think you should start deploying Akiva Schaffer in every...
I wish I could.
Warm up people. Just give him links to everything.
He was my hype man.
Yeah, just get him in, like throw him into every interview to warm everyone up. He's a lovely guy. I got to say, I talked to him for the magazine for the Naked Gun feature, and he is a blast and a real like scholar of comedy. And
very much so.
Just a good dude. So that I love that story. But
it was amazing.
I mean, even without him, you guys get onto some pretty scatological.
This interview goes wild. We spoke for nearly an hour. We only meant to have 20 minutes. We spoke for nearly an hour. They just seemed to be having an absolute blast. Rudd was in New York. Black was in LA. And they just got on so well together. They've kind of circled each other for years. They've been friendly for years, but they weren't really friends until they made this. And there's kind of a mutual appreciation society. Paul Rudd is such a huge Jack Black fan. And, right back at you, Rudd, from Jack Black. Somehow we got on to towards the end of the interview.
Well, can I just read a couple of lines without any context? And we'll just provide this. And then if you want the context, you're going to have to buy the magazine.
All right.
From Jack Black.
Yeah.
It doesn't climb up your piss. It climbs in your cock. Let's just leave that. Let's just reflect on that and move on. But I got to say, this was so much fun. We did talk about expanding this to a feature. It was planned to be like a couple of pages. It's just one of those issues where there was too much good stuff to pack in.
Yeah.
Like James Cameron and Nolan and Matt Damon and all this other stuff. And we didn't manage to do that, but we did expand it to 3 pages.
Yes, it was meant to be 2 pages. Yeah. Became 3 pages. There's stuff that didn't make it into the cut here. There is just an absolutely extraordinary, hilarious, hilarious interview. And I hope that if the film is half as much fun as the interview, then we're in for a treat.
I mean, it's a chaotic,
is all I'm saying.
A chaotic premise, I got to say. It's like one of those, like what are they doing?
Yeah.
But I can't wait. And I would like to watch it in a double bill with the original Anaconda. Sony, please make that happen, because that would be a cool... I like the original Anaconda. Then the second one is the Anacondas, right? Did they go the aliens route?
I don't know. There was Anaconda, the Hunt for the Blood Orchid.
Yeah,
something like that. Who knows?
It's a banger, the original. As I recall.
I mean, is it? I don't know that it is. I remember it being very bad, but it does have that amazing moment where John Voight gets eaten by the anaconda, then the anaconda regurgitates John Voight, and then he winks at, I think, J-Lo, because he's still technically alive at that point. It's bizarre.
Zootropolis 2 just made over $500 million in a single weekend with its new snake character, so could Anaconda also make $1 billion. I'm hoping so.
It's unlikely, but you never know.
You never know.
You never know. If they release this interview in cinemas, that might make $500 million alone. Genuinely one of the funniest interviews I've ever done. Very, very little to do with me. Everything to do with them. And it's worth
$5.99.
It's worth
the price of the Mac.
As is Nick's Odyssey to cover the Odyssey Editor of the Year. I'll say,
thanks, man.
Go and pick it up right now. All good, evil, virtual news agents. If you want to, of course, you can subscribe to Empire Magazine. You can do so via the website empireonline.com. If you want to join the VIP Club, which gives you the subscription to the magazine, the subscription to the spoiler specials, and potential access to our VIP Club events, usually screenings and Q&As, mostly in London, we must say, do that as well. We're doing at least 6 a year.
Yeah, we're doing a lot more than that. We've done at least one a month this year. Sometimes more than that. So we have really stepped up and we've got big plans for next year. But yeah, it's there have been a lot of big events and we're excited to be doing more of them. Just to say, you know, if you may have seen like snippets from the Odyssey story online, you may have seen some pictures, but there is a lot more in the magazine. We always hold stuff back for print and there's it's a big 12-page feature and there's loads more that hasn't gone online. So
yeah,
even if you've read some stuff, there's plenty more.
Absolutely.
Including a cop salad joke.
Oh, what a joke. What a joke. I don't know. I keep kind of oscillating wildly between you deserve the award and then you say something that makes me think they should just take it off you.
There's been a giant clerical error.
Like you do this and then you do the Cobb salad thing and I think, listen, we don't even have time to get into contents this month, but it's an absolute banger. I'm on form. There's, yeah. There's no question about it. Every joke is just glorious. Is this the one with the Dom's up joke? Yes, it is. All right. There's a good Dom's up joke in contents. Check it out, folks. In the meantime, Nick, that's it for the shameless plug for another month. It's time for us to go and eat a slice of delicious Tom Cruise cake. That is cake sent to us by Tom Cruise, not cake made of Tom Cruise. That would be very, very different. But Nick, always a pleasure talking to you. And that's it.
It's been wild. Time to get out of this horse.
Time to get out of this giant horse. Thank you so much for listening. See you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Hey, neighbor. Nay, because I call you knaves all the time. Nabes.